Let's get right into it, Chai, because there's new stuff. Travis Shaw has now spoken since his tweet storm on Friday, which, yeah, got a lot of traction, a lot of replies, a lot of retweets. I felt bad replying to some, in fact, and then deleted my tweets because, yeah, it's an emotional moment or an emotional topic for everybody. Let's maybe just start with this. Like, are you surprised that he was ill-informed? Where are we with how the organization has let these guys know what the procedures will be if they do play the regular season home games here in Toronto?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little surprised that he wasn't, or he was caught off guard that there would be, and the quarantine would essentially reset every time they crossed the border. I would have thought that was pretty straightforward. But, you know, like, these guys have had a lot to deal with, like everybody, players, front office, and nothing about this has been normal. Everything about this has been difficult to for the Blue Jays, more so than for any of the other 29 teams. And I think some of this could very easily have gotten lost in the shuffle. Again, it's not certainly not ideal. And, you know, to kind of look at it, I think if, from a player perspective, you look at it and say, all right, we did our 14 days. It's like, what, we have to do this again, like every time? I can see that being difficult. Especially when you're the only one of 30 major league teams put in that situation. But on the flip side, you know, the reason that we do this is or helps explain why our numbers are so low in relation to the United States. You know, our government, thankfully, is handling the coronavirus much better than the one of the United States is. And, you know, I think you put that together. Travis Shaw had a chance to calm down a little bit and kind of, you know, see the bigger picture. And, you know, I thought he was very eloquent in what he said. He was very thoughtful. And, you know, he reacted emotionally. He had some time to revisit it. And, you know, it came to a different conclusion.
Yeah, I guess he came to a different conclusion. I'm sure there's still some anxiety, and who wouldn't have anxiety about, you know, spending half of your time locked into one building throughout this restart for what will end up being about 3 months. How much will the organization use the player feedback to make its decision as to where they play these home games?
Well, I mean, you know, the player feedback's important, but if you look at the options, and they're limited for the Blue Jays right now, this is still by far the path of least resistance for them. This is still the best situation, right? So, you know, in their back pocket, they have Dunedin, which is a minor league facility that has some good things, but it's not a very comfortable place to play from a weather perspective, both heat and rain. It's not up to major league standards, and it's in a place teeming with COVID-19. So it's going to definitely impact your chances to be competitive. So that's not good. Then, you know, they've talked to Buffalo, but that's also not a facility that's up to major league standards. There are real infrastructure issues that may prevent it from being suitable for Major League Baseball, you know, stuff that can't be repaired in the 2.5 weeks that remain between now and the Blue Jays home opener, should they get that far. So that's not good either. And then potentially they could start kicking around some other sites, which, you know, I can't identify right now, but, you know, none of those things is really good. So, you know, the Rogers Center is a major league facility. It's it's a place where guys have played. It's up to standards. You know, you're still in Toronto, even if you're confined to a hotel room in the stadium. It's by far the best situation for the Blue Jays if they can get there. And I think the players understand that, even though it's going to require significant sacrifices on their part.
Do you think that the Jays will play their games in Toronto this year then?
I mean, I don't know. I know there are some people in the organization who believe that there's a good chance they will. There's some who are trying not to ride the roller coaster. This is obviously a pretty important decision from a government perspective in terms of whether or not you are creating any sort of risk by allowing these players to go back and forth. risking introducing some more coronavirus into the community and perhaps having some spread result from it. So that, I just don't know at this point. You know, I think, if you, on the surface of it, there's a framework in place right now based on what the Blue Jays have done, based on sort of what the NHL has done. This is a different element, but you could look at it and say, well, you know, these travelers are arriving and they'll essentially just be serving a modified quarantine. And they won't be doing it for 14 days. They'll just be doing it for 6 days or 3 days or however long they're in the country, but they'll be just confined to a space. And if the risk is low for training camp, then the risk remains low for the regular season. I get that point of view. I just don't know what the calculation on the government's end will ultimately be.
Yeah, that logically makes sense to me. Talking to Shai Davidi, what about timeline on this thing? Because you mentioned it, home opener is 2 weeks from Wednesday. They'd probably like to shore this thing up, have an idea of where they're playing their home games. What, like, when is the deadline for knowing whether they can use Rogers Center or not?
I don't know if there's a firm date. You know, if there's some momentum and it requires a bit of extra time, I'm sure the Blue Jays can grant it. I mean, that's one of the benefits of having 2.5 weeks to work with still, is that there is a little bit of flexibility in there. But I would expect a resolution to come this week. My sense is that the Blue Jays are expecting a resolution to come one way or another this week. It's not only do they need to know, but, you know, teams that are coming here have to start making their travel arrangements and understand where they're going too. So I think all those factors together point to a resolution coming this week.
Yeah, not to mention even when we were talking to Shulman last week, it was last week, I just forget because I took a bunch of days off, but how there's real broadcast considerations here, right? Like if you're moving to Buffalo and you're trying to do this thing in Dunedin or a different ballpark, like there's a lot of logistical stuff that still has to go on behind the scenes and setting up for those kind of stuff too. So yeah, this was that still hangs over everything, and it's going to until it's resolved. But we spent the top of the show speaking about how actually having the Jays play an inner squad game and having meaningful news sort of felt like all of a sudden it really feels as though baseball is here, and that it's not just conversations about, you know, labor disputes and COVID, that we had real baseball conversations, and none of them were bigger than Vlad Jr. and the shift to first base because of everything that was made of the importance of his defense in the first place. Like, it's the reason the guy was held down, and it was the main thing that the organization pointed to, saying, well, we want to make sure that his defense is better and that it's not, we always joke about this, but they kept comparing him to Manny Ramirez, being like, we don't want to rush him and have it be a Manny Ramirez situation where he's not good on defense. And now he's shifting over to first base. The only thing is, everybody knew that this was likely to come, but that it's happening so quickly is a little odd. What do you think the main reason behind this shift is? And, like, why now? Why so fast?
Well, I think the conclusion that they ultimately came to is that if we keep on trying to do this, you know, at some point we're taking away from his offense. And his offense is what really matters, right? Like, you know, is Vlad Jr. going to play, going to make enough improvements, defense and third base, to push him from a very below average defender to a slightly below average defender? And is that amount of work that it takes to make that improvement worth it relative to just let him do his thing and let him just hit the cover off the ball from first base and catch the ball there? I mean, isn't that what you ultimately want? And aren't you ultimately better that way? The Blue Jays had a ready replacement in-house at third base and Travis Shaw, a good defensive third baseman, and someone who in the past has been a good offensive player who's trying to recapture his form. I think that in the short term puts you put that together, and all right, well, we're a better defensive team and maybe a better offensive team as a result of this. And in a 60-game sprint, every little bit matters. I think in the medium and the long term, it's that, you know, you've got Jordan Groshans, shortstop, third baseman, who's on the horizon, you know, maybe a year to 18 months away. You've got Austin Martin, the first round pick this year, who could end up at third base, who's that far away as well. You've got some other players coming in your system. So this move is going to take place. Was going to take place at some time. I think, you know, the where they were this year, just get it done now, make the transition because it's going to happen, and let Vladimir Guerrero Jr. maximize his offense potential, because ultimately that's really what matters, not how well he catches the ball in the field.
Yeah, and it's easy to forget that, you know, the Blue Jays actually had a spring training that happened, and they got through significant portion. They played in spring training games. So do you believe that this would have been coming eventually in the 162-game season, or is this just, hey, the circumstances of the 60-game season necessitate this?
No, it was on the table. I mean, even towards the end of the initial spring training, Guerrero was taking balls at third base at first base with infield coach Louis Rivera. So, you know, this was already on the back burner back then. So, you know, this didn't exactly come out of left field. And then, you know, you factor in the shutdown and that, you know, everybody was limited in what they could do. So a lot of the work, the agility work that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. had done throughout the offseason, some of that may have gone backwards a little bit. When I asked him if it had, he said that, you know, he still felt that good and was able to do his routine throughout his time in the DR during the shutdown. But, you know, I think ultimately you look at the situation and you're like, how do we maximize everything that we've got? You know, like the difference between, you know, potential success and failure this year could be a game or two. Like the margin's going to be that thin over 60 games. So, you know, how do you maximize every little bit that you can get? And, you know, I think that this was, you know, at a certain point, the Blue Jays understood that they were going to have to stop trying to put a square peg into a round hole.
Yeah, I mean, it's why, you know, missing Lourdes Gurriel Jr. for any amount of time could be devastating to this team's potential playoff chances. Correct me if I'm wrong, but, like, I don't even think he's in the city. And people can, you know, draw whatever conclusions. It's a real mystery as to why a guy might not actually be here. But, yeah, he hasn't played in any intra-squad games. Like, how long until we start talking about this guy missing regular season games? Is there a requirement to get intra-squad at-bats? What do you make of the Lourdes Gurriel Jr. situation?
Well, you know, we've not spotted him in Toronto at this point. He's one of, I believe, seven players remaining that we haven't spotted here in the city. So, you know, the teams are not disclosed. Blue Jays are not disclosing the identity of players who test positive for COVID-19. You know, the speculation there is obvious. So I don't know. None of us can say that for certain, and no one's confirming it. But, you know, you put two and two together, and here we are. So what does that mean for his availability for the regular season? Who knows, right? We don't know where in what state, if he is positive, and what stage of recovery he is. He'd have to produce two negative tests in order to return. So that process is in whatever stage it is. But, you know, this is where the Blue Jays' depth get tested, right? You know, this is an opportunity for someone like an Anthony Alford or a Derek Fisher, or maybe Joe Panik is playing more left field, or, you know, depending on how you want to align your infield, maybe Kevin Biggio is getting a few reps out there. This is where that flexibility that the Blue Jays have has to come into play. And, you know, they've got some extra bats in and around the lineup. They've got some guys who can play the outfield. And it's going to be intriguing to see how they shake it out and put it all together.
Shai, we always appreciate the time, especially when you have to wake up early for us. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, bud.
No problem, guys. Have a good one.